Welcome. This is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. Yes, we are still in Romans. Hope you're enjoying it. As Pastor Lukumsky pointed out yesterday, it is quite a task going through this one or two verses at a time. So I thought, well, just for a change of pace, let's do three today.
Thank you.
That's really
so much to cover.
Let's consume a vast portion of text here in our Romans Bible study. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. And our good friend Pastor John Shank is back, regular guest here on the Bible study, in the assigned position at the assigned time, in the assigned place. Alles ist in Ordnung, ja. All is in order.
He
serves over at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great.
You always come in here in such good spirits.
Oh, well, there's much to rejoice in.
Oh, really?
There is. We are very busy at Trinity in Edwardsville. This week, we have our sausage supper on Sunday.
Tempt a brother to sin.
If that doesn't put a smile on your face, I don't know it will. Sausage.
Now, not to give away trade secrets, but do you guys actually butcher your own and make your own and all that good stuff for the good old farmer guys out there?
We have our own recipe
that the
butcher follows and makes. So come out Sunday, 12 to 6, 600 Water Street. If you need some directions, just give us a call, 618-656-2918.
There's a lot of food this weekend. You know, Lukumsky's got his spaghetti dinner thing going on over there, and well, at least you're more kind. You said call. You know what he said? I just put it in Google. You'll find us.
Yeah. Well, that too. I mean,
you have much more of a servant's heart.
maybe he's just more modern than I am.
I don't know.
Google it.
Oh,
Google
gracious.
TrinityLutheranMinistries.org.
Well, look at the text you get today. You get to play junior psychologist today.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Have you noticed that the theme of self-esteem keeps popping up in Romans?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess maybe if we were studying this in Africa somewhere or China, it might not. But in the context of the American church, you have to look at this and go, oh, really now?
Yeah, it's amazing if after the first few chapters of Romans, you have any self-esteem left.
No. No. They have ground my bones to make their bread. I am crushed. I am but a worm. No, well, see, that's the conflict is, and we'll get to that.
Yeah.
If you saw my little Facebook post that I put up this morning, it seems that if you read this in a very literal sense, perhaps Paul is telling us that we shouldn't be emotional about anything. We shouldn't feel anything. We should be like a concrete lawn ornament.
Mm.
Just, you know, rigid and unfeeling.
Yeah. Stoic existence.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
Is that the life of a Christian?
No.
Well, we'll make you justify that during the course of the next hour.
Good night, everybody.
Because just as I've gotten comfortable in my sackcloth and ashes. You know. But that's, I mean, there are times, and perhaps context is king, and we'll have to get into that as well. But let's begin with prayer. And again, the ongoing efforts to relieve the suffering that's going on in the Philippines after the hurricane, the typhoon. I guess it's a typhoon, technically.
Technically, because of where they're at.
Big storm.
Yes.
Couldn't hope to pronounce the name, so I won't try. Again, commending to our listeners, if you want information about the relief efforts going on behalf of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, lcms.org, information there. That's the clearinghouse. You can also find links to KFUO and other things as well. If you want to give a little bit, if you want to give a lot, we encourage either one of those. lcms.org is the place to go. But let's remember them also in our prayers this morning, Pastor.
We shall. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we hear the voices of our brothers and sisters crying out for aid. So we lift them up in our prayers to you, those who are suffering, those who are sick, those who have been orphaned, the widowed. They cry to you, O Lord, and you hear their prayers. We thank you for having a listening ear to us, your dear children, and in the fact of giving of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into our flesh, into the very grave, our grave, for the forgiveness of our sins. Be with us as we put together efforts of care, for all things are to the glory of your holy name. For it is in your Son's name that we pray, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to join us this morning, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org. And let me look at this here. Where in the world did that go? Well, I had gotten a note from the big office down the hall, and it seems to have disappeared here. I don't know where it went. It's not, well, who knows what happened here to the email server. Try emailing us anyway, but I know Croatia was listening this morning and Fargo, North Dakota, and we have almost 30 states online. That always grows during the course of the hour. So
great.
There is a global presence here again.
Well, thank you for listening.
I think it was Lisbon, North Dakota. And I thought that was strange because when I was a kid in high school, they taught me that was in Portugal. But, okay.
Who knows?
Who am I to correct? Okay. I mean, you want to put it in North Dakota? Fine. Put it in North Dakota.
Things change.
Yeah, sometimes for the better, too.
They got up and moved.
Romans 12, verses 3 to 5, your assigned text for today, beginning at verse 3. For by the grace God, I apologize. We got to put the cough button back in here.
Yeah, big one.
We're still a little bit under construction. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And that is the text for today. So here's another admonition of some sort. I guess it's against pride again. Really? Another admonition against pride?
Why do we keep
revisiting this?
It's like it's a problem for us or something.
Humble man, I'm proud of that fact. Thank you.
Yes. You were telling me about a certain shirt about pride.
Yeah, there's a place online that sells T-shirts that say, I'm a humble Lutheran and proud of it. Shall I get you one of those for Christmas?
You might want to look up the definition of those words. That just makes me laugh, Roland. I can't help it. I just keep thinking about it.
I don't know.
You know, isn't that the very sin from the beginning that that we wanted to take the very seat of God, that we didn't think God's word was actually good for us, His word to keep us safe, His word to protect us, and yet we fell for that continual now temptation of ours to seek our own will and not His will, to seek our own way and not His way, and it continues to cause us to grow deeper and deeper into a hole of sin. So Paul is, he's addressing what continues to be such a problem for us all, right? This me and not we, this I pride problem of seeking ourselves and to elevate ourselves over each other, and it misses. It misses the point then what is being addressed. So there's more than one thing being addressed here, though it is couched in this understanding of the sinfulness of pride, right?
Well, if you read a little bit further, the word judgment leaps out as well. So is it about pride or is it about judgment? Or is it pride-driven judgment or judgment-driven pride?
Well, that we have to have the sober judgment so that we do not fall in that temptation, but that we understand that God is the one who assigns, that God who is the one who has given us this grace, who has given up of himself, who makes us a part of this body. And then if we lose focus on Christ as the one who brings us in, who is the body for which we stand, then we're going to spin out of control and see our own giftedness as if it was something that we had created instead of something that God has bestowed or given to us, which the text makes then very clear.
So what's so bad about having contempt for people we don't like? Why can't I just judge someone unworthy of my interest or my favor?
That we could just dismiss them, cast them aside. I was, was struggling with some of these kind of things with some brothers. We were gathered together for our Winkle yesterday.
Now, you have to explain what that is, because people are going to go, what?
A winkle. We were winkling. No, we were gathering together.
Only pastors would do such a thing, yes.
Yeah, we were gathering together as pastors who are located near each other. How about that, right?
Any idea why it's called a winkle, or is that just a term that's been around?
It's a German term for corner, right? So we're all in a corner of an area of our circuit.
Ah, I see.
Or of our district, which forms a circuit. All this is beyond what I was trying to
little
to
inside
go.
Baseball.
But yeah, you know, sorry about
people,
that.
But we're, see, that will divert people's attention. They'll hear the word and then miss the point. So I wanted to get
so,
to
yeah, that. We were gathering together as a group of pastors of an area, and we were talking about different common modern issues, right, that we're all dealing with and struggling with, you know, our children within our schools and what they're being exposed to, and how do we minister to people that we have a theological difference from as children, and our children being parts of different groups. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that so we don't diverge too far. But are involved in different groups without maintaining our theological integrity, our faith,
important,
right?
Yes, important.
But without holding ourselves above them, you know, all these things we struggle with, don't we? Because we have to recognize the very fact that all of us were called into the faith. You know, none of us were a Columbus or whoever and discovered this faith, right? This faith came and sought us out. Christ came and found us as these lost sheep, these ones who were in danger of hellfire itself, and yet we were rescued. So then how do we keep that in mind so that we don't become so arrogant that we don't continue to care for those who are outside of the faith too? Right. Mm-hmm. And I know this text is dealing primarily with our relationships inside the faith, isn't it? You know, the body of Christ in relation to each member.
Well, I don't know that you can even say inside the faith, because then you have to define what you mean by who's on the inside and who's on the outside.
Right.
So now here we're into the judgment mode again, aren't we?
Sure. But we do have some understanding about who is on the inside and who is on the outside, maybe not applicable to the naked eye to each individual, but objectively speaking, who is in the faith, who is in the church, and who is the church? What is the church, right? Those who are believers, the assembly of those who are in Christ by faith. We know then those are the ones for whom have been made holy in the blood of Christ. So there is a body of Christ,
right.
And we can. It does have some identifying marks of what is this, you know, church.
Well, you know, kids are taught. Too bad we don't have a camera in here. But you know, if you intertwine your fingers and you fold them
yes.
together and you put your two index fingers up, this is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors. Here are the people.
Yeah.
So who are all these wiggling fingers? Who is the church?
As a child would say, these are the sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd, right? These are the ones who hear or have heard the call of Christ and believe. The ones whom he has washed clean in the waters of holy baptism. The ones for whom he feeds on his own body and blood. The ones whom he has brought to repent of their sins and to trust that it's only in Jesus Christ that we are part of his body. And he is the one that keeps us in that body, that these acts for which will be talked about in the next Bible studies to come, these different gifts. These aren't what create us or make us in the faith or keep us in the faith, but this is our new identity in that faith.
Connect these two sections of verses, verse 3 and then verse 4 and 5, because in 3 he's telling us not to think more highly of ourselves, to use sober judgment, and then apparently he's also saying that everyone is accorded a measure of faith that is not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Everyone is accorded a measure of faith that is going to vary. And then we get in 4 and 5 that we're one body, different members, we don't all have the same function. So what is the connection between the two? Or do they connect? Did I break the text in the wrong place?
No. I think they do connect. The connection point then is one that I would say more unfolds than pivots around a middle point,
okay,
but unfolds towards the end, where if we look at 5, so we, though many, are one body and Christ and individually members one of another. So we have to see ourselves then in Christ. If we see ourselves in Him, then our boasting in ourselves as individuals then is excluded, right? We don't boast in ourselves. We boast as being a member then of this body, this Christ. And it starts from that very beginning, for by the grace given to me, for Paul then, it's more than just the normal understanding or the singularity understanding of grace as God's riches and in Christ, this new relation that's been opened to us by the sacrifice of Christ, but the grace of Him to speak as apostle, which even going back to Romans 1 verse 5, he talks about that grace and apostleship connected together, right? So now this grace for which He can now speak to them and instruct and teach them as one who has been sent, that's His giftedness, right? Which then will unfold as you go through too, right? This is what He has been given to do. And Roland, you have things for which you have been given to do in this body, and I as pastor have been given things to do, but it's for the benefit of the body. The body works to care for itself as many of the gifts then shoot out to the needs of collecting and gathering into the body itself too. But okay, the one for which we connect all these three verses together is in Christ in seeing ourselves in Him.
Yesterday, Paul talks about renewing our minds. Now he's talking about pride. So I guess he's talking about a little introspection here. Examine yourself and see where you come up short. So really, is he talking about humility more so than pride and judgment?
Yeah. Don't they go together on the separate side of the coin, right? Instead of being prideful, we are called to be humble, right? Mm-hmm. We can boast, but we boast in Christ. We can, you know, that T-shirt isn't so far off if we look at it like that, right? We can have pride in the fact that we are a part of the body, but we have to then understand how is it that we became part of that body. So then our pride and our boasting is not in an effort that we have maintained or done or anything, but our pride is that God has called us by Christ.
So there's good pride and bad pride?
Yeah.
How do I know the difference?
and maybe pride probably then is such a, you know, is, you know, has its negative connotes, you know, its context and meaning. So it's probably not the best word to use. But sometimes Paul and the scriptures kind of talk about boasting and pride, and he does it in such a way to kind of shock us and grab our attention, you know, for us then maybe different words maybe could be used to describe the reality so that we can have this joy and rejoicing, have this this identity, right? It's our identity that we are in Christ. This is now who we are. And once we then see, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm a part of the body of Christ, then what is it? Who am I? And then he starts to flow out from that, to give us an understanding of who you are in him, that he's given you these things. And the measure of your faith is not to get confused, but I don't know if you want to deal with that or when you want to deal with that, but that is something that needs to be addressed too.
Well, you mentioned the question. Sometimes the most brilliant theological questions come from the most non-theological sources. Dr. Phil, for example, how's that working out for you?
Okay. Yes.
Brilliant theological question. Doesn't realize it, but it is. But years ago, when Ross Perot ran for president, his vice president, his candidate, was a fellow named Admiral Stockdale.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. There was one vice presidential debate. and Admiral Stockdale. The world doesn't know him. I mean, he's Medal of Valor winner, decorated war hero, prisoner of war, remarkable career, remarkable man. Steps to the microphone. Nobody knows who he is. And he looks into the camera and he says, "Who am I? What am I doing here?" That is a brilliant theological question. And that goes right to what you were saying about identity and what Paul is getting at here. Well, who, as a member of the body of Christ, who am I?
Sure.
What am I doing here?
Sure. Sure. It is a great question. It is a, because as we deal with each hour together, we are dealing with these smaller chunks, which is fantastic because you get to, a chance to chew on things for a little bit and let it marinate and all the rest. But we have to understand that I hope that the listeners and everyone has been paying attention throughout and keep paying attention, right? Keep listening for these hours because it's been an outflow, right? It's been given the whole doctrine, the whole teaching of the faith that we were lost, right? This is where we had been. We went astray and this original sin brought upon us all this death, and we live in this sin, and we participate in this sin, and yet from Christ, this one sacrifice, we have life. And so all this has been building upon each other and building up. So I hope your listeners do some review as we go, and they look back, and they continue are being fed by God's word to see that this identity has been addressed. You know, that we were lost and now we're in Christ, that our sin brought upon us this death, not individual sin. You know, it's not because you did this one act that you die, but because of the sin singular, and because of that sin singular condition of humanity, then it outflows of all those sins, plural. And now we have this Savior who lives this perfect life and brings us into Him. So we're identified then in Him. So then, okay, so we're a Christian. Now, what does that life look like? Where do we go from here?
That's the problem.
And so now he's
welcome to Romans 12. Here's
yeah. Where, you know, and now where we have this great chapter, which speaks of that, a chapter which whole books have been written on. So it's a wonderful because it speaks of, okay, here you are. You're part of a body, you're part of a family, you're part of a unit, and you're not alone. You know, how much of our world is out there feeling very much alone today, and our listeners feeling very much isolated, alone, in the midst of a world where I have a computer right here, and I can connect to all these people around the world, I can do all these things, and yet I'm isolated in a room somewhere. Right? So I can feel very alone, and yet God's word tells me because I'm in Christ, I'm part of a body. I'm united to Christ, I'm united to you, Roland. I'm united to the person that's listening. We're part of each other because we're part of Christ. And that in and of itself as the identity of a Christian is very encouraging.
You can join us 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Really not enough time left in this segment of the program to be fair with our callers. So Mike and guys, stay on hold for a few moments longer. We'll have a little break here coming up at this bottom of the hour. And when we get back, you know, the other problem about pride and humility is how you respond when people compliment you for something you've done in the church or in the faith. I don't deal with it well. You know, we can talk about that when we get back. But how do you deal with that? I mean, because then on the one hand, you've got the one side of your brain that kicks in and goes, nope, you better be proud. better deflect that.
Yeah.
Then on the other side, you go, yeah, but notice me. I'm working pretty hard at this job.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's enough to make you say, pass the Tylenol. And we'll talk about that when we get back. Pastor John Shank is here. He serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. And if you'd like to join us, 821-0850 from right here in St. Louis, our little close community. If you're a little bit further out in our community, 1-800-730-2727. And if you're in our broad family anywhere around the world, try the email, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Some faith talk! I got my catechism and my Bible in hand. Lord, it's good to be a Lutheran man. I got friends who can teach, friends who can preach. I got friends who know theology. There's Bill, there's Craig, and there's Laura and Lou. All my Lutheran friends are coming over at 2.
Listen for our new programming beginning December 2nd. Join us each weekday afternoons at 2 for a different program each day. On Monday, we'll be Cross Defense. Tuesday, you'll hear Concord Matters. Wednesday, will be Culture and Christianity. Thursday, God Whisperers. And wrapping up the week on Friday, will be Book Talk. Listen for more information on our new program lineup here on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO.
Without music, grace feels elusive in so much religious language about end times, but with music, the end time sounds more like a new beginning. Music full of that grace and gladness can be heard on the next Sing for Joy. Join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO, Pastor John Shank is here. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. We are in Romans. Where did my glasses go? I need glasses to find my glasses. There we are. Romans 12, verses 3 to 5. I should have had that memorized by now. See, but then that would go to a matter of pride. I have to be humble. I have to show on air that I, too, am capable of making errors and having little failures as I go through life. I'm not the perfect radio professional everyone thinks me to be, though I'd like them to, as you can tell. We're talking a little bit about pride and humility, because in the verses that we have today, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. And that seems to be a theme we're developing here. You can join us at 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Mike has been waiting on hold for a few moments. Mike, thanks for your patience. You're up first today.
How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Mike, thanks for...
For fear of falling into pride, I refuse to answer the question.
Okay, that's a good answer. Listen, you guys were talking about boasting and pride and all this stuff in Christ. Well, my question is, I hear Christian people saying, like, you know, they used to be... you know, either an alcoholic or a drug addict, but now they say they're getting high on Jesus. Is this similar to what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'd have to, if I was with them, I'd have to ask them, you know, what's that really mean, right?
Well, I mean, they don't drink or take drugs anymore. Sure. And now they say their new high is Jesus.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, I would obviously rejoice with them that they've been... And it sounds like they're identifying that that God is the one who has freed them from such a
exactly
a horrible addiction, right? A horrible slavery to this to the sin, right?
That's what it is, right?
And so then I would rejoice with them, and then I would hope that when they're talking about being high on Jesus, that that they realize that as they mature. Sometimes we talk about things as we, you know, we grow in Christ, right? We grow in the faith, and we have to, as you are, Mike, and others, a little more mature in the faith, and we're dealing with maybe a younger believer, we kind of bring them along, and we don't be too critical of maybe a statement that maybe could be misunderstood, but we rejoice with them, and then as we bring them along, we kind of remind them that as we have this walk with Christ, it's not always going to be a high, right? We still face hardship as Christians, right? Paul still had things to suffer through, right? That right. Not every day is going to be a high, but it doesn't remove you from being part of the Christian faith, right? Just because you're struggling, God even uses those struggles, those lows in Jesus, to keep you in the faith. So we rejoice with them, and then we continue to walk alongside them, right?
Okay, now I see. All right, thanks.
Great stuff,
Mike. I think it's a good point. Thank you, Mike, for the call. It's a good point that at that point, they're learning.
Yeah.
It's still fairly new to them. And look at how people in Scripture respond to Christ when he heals them.
Sure.
Sure, you know, sure. Some are grateful. Some, what is it, the 10 lepers? One comes back to say thank you.
Yeah, and is really brought to see that this is the true worship. This is a place, this is where God is in the very body of Christ, enfleshed in this Savior. So yeah, you know, and with the apostles and with each and every one of us, there's going to be times where we say things and do things that, you know, you could, with the proper understanding, say, okay, great, you know, but we don't want to crush somebody's faith as they're starting to.
You know, it should be more organic, shouldn't it, that when you're in the faith, you should know your place.
Hmm.
But yet it seems to be a struggle to figure out where we fit in this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the family dynamic translates here. I mean, as I watch my parents and my in-laws transition to the later years of their life, maybe I'm becoming less of a child and more of a parent to them. I think people have experienced some of that, where now you're the caregiver, instead of the one receiving that. And sometimes it's hard to figure out just where your place is.
Yeah, it's a moving, evolving dynamic, right? And that's you know, I was looking up Titus 2 yesterday too, where Paul talks and encourages I'll put it this way, the mature women and the mature men teach the younger, but after a while we move from younger to more mature, don't we?
Yeah.
So then how do we identify, I'm not younger anymore, am I? It's my time to come alongside and to teach myself what I have learned from God's word. So yeah, isn't that interesting that it's not totally static either?
Yeah, it transitions, it changes. It's hard to figure out. Nothing is easy.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it were easier.
Well,
why can't it just be? You know, like microwave macaroni. Just, you know, read the instructions and get it over with.
Are we revealing our maleness that we want? We just want it to be this way, to remain this way, and always be this way. Maybe if we have a female caller, maybe she would appreciate this this relationship dynamic,
we'll
right?
Do that. Yeah, but I guess being stubborn, which you're talking about, is an aspect of pride, isn't it?
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
Well, let's find out. I don't know. Here's Cheryl. Maybe Cheryl can straighten us out. Good morning.
You guys are right on the mark here. I was going to comment on verse 5, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another.
Yes.
My mom was baptized in 1917. I was baptized in 1949. And my mom is living in her own house at this point. She's getting more isolated, though, because she has mental confusion and hearing problems. And you were talking about microwave macaroni. She can no longer read the directions and use microwave.
Yeah.
So today, very soon, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to go over to her house and help her move to a house that is within a block of me so I can just walk over to her house and help her use her microwave. So we're individually members of one another. We're filling in the gaps for each other's weaknesses, and we're doing it in the name of Christ.
Amen. Isn't that a wonderful... Isn't it wonderful to be part of a body, right? And isn't it wonderful to be part of a family? Maybe just for a moment, that the family for which God has blessed us with parents, it's not a wonderful thing, for which it does also remove that pride, because we get to see, don't we? We get to see in our parents a wonderful example of the faith to aspire to, but then we also get to then live in that faith as we get an opportunity to care for them, right? And I hope and pray, and I know it's hard, and I continue to pray for our members and the body of Christ as we care for parents. I know it's difficult, and there's many challenges with it as well, but I hope we also get to see the blessedness of it, because one day we'll need that care. And bring along your children to show that this is how we do it as family. This is how we do it as the body of Christ. we respect, we honor those who have cared for us. We honor them as the ones for which God has given to us as parents. This is a gift, and we should care, and we should serve. So thank you. That's a wonderful call, wonderful example.
Thanks, you're all the best.
Thank you.
It's tough when you have to come upon those events in life.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I think they can only be eased as we do see ourselves in this dynamic and relationship that we all receive care. There's none of us that are lone rangers out there that create everything, right? We all receive from the Lord our daily bread. We all receive from the Lord our very breath. So when we come to those times where we need more care, from the beginning we have received from the Lord, and He continues to give us what we need and rejoice as children caring for your parents.
Before we go back to the phones, as we went to the break, I said, you know, for me, I'm not comfortable with compliments.
Yeah.
I find it very,
you know, hard.
People will call, and I appreciate it. Thank you for doing it. But people will call, and they'll write, and they go, you've got a great ministry. You're doing a great job. And I think, I could do better. I could.
Sure.
I mean, how are we supposed to deal with that? Because on the one hand, it can fuel pride, mm-hmm. and that can destroy things. On the other hand, you don't want to be so negligent of people's courtesy that you're, you know. Plus, it's never bad for the boss to hear how well you're doing.
That's just, you know? I mean, we like doing this little show here,
yeah.
So it is good to hear. And it is, as the body of Christ, shouldn't we encourage each other, right?
Yeah.
Now, we can take that and run with it and act like this was all yours, as if no one had come before you, as if this was all created by you. But no, this is the station, its work, the ministry of the body of Christ. For me, Trinity Lutheran Ministries, we've had many, many pastors that have come on before me, and there'll be, God willing, many, many, many pastors after me. But today, I get to do this, right? What a blessing that I get to bring God's Word, that we get to sit here today and talk about Christ and what He has done for us, His death that brings us life, His sacrifice that brings us forgiveness.
It is pretty cool.
It is amazing. Yeah. And when we point others to Christ and they turn and thank, you know, we say thank you, and we turn and praise the Lord together, right? You know, Christ's example and the example we have in different places from Paul, encouraging and complimenting. You know, I'm going through 2 Corinthians, where he talks about the giving of other areas and congregations for the relief efforts of the saints, and he thanks them. He says the wonder, and he boasts in them. So, you know, there are times where we can thank each other, we can encourage each other, we can point out the wonderful service that God has been doing through them, and in that way, encourage each other to be spurred on all the more. But we never shall keep it to ourselves. It must flow out.
It must flow out. 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Back to the phones. Jan, good morning. How's everything in Atlanta? I trust warmer than here.
I don't know. What you working with?
32.
Yeah. A little warm.
Don't rub it in too much, Jan.
Yeah, but it started out 27.
Okay. Okay. So, we're close, yeah, then.
Yeah. Couple of things. I remember when that general approached the podium. And
Admiral Stockdale,
yeah. And I'm reminded of Isaiah 43. Who am I? Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And why am I here? Verse 10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. And I think that encapsulates who we are in Christ. And Roland, you were talking about pride. I think there's a distinction to be made between confidence and arrogance, and how one determines where one's trust is placed. I agree with you. I could do better, but I think of that parable with the talents. You know, God doesn't say to the man with five talents, well done because you did this or that. He said the effort is what he sanctified. So arrogance is trying to conceal that portion of the incompetence that we know that we have, that we don't want anyone else to see. But when our confidence is in the giver of the gift, then we say, well, I'm glad that it blessed you, and, you know, pray for me that I will continue to grow in proficiency and, you know, something to that effect.
But, yeah.
I really feel like we as the church need to be more self-correcting. And I'm looking at two passages. I'd like your help with a contrast. The first one is 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12. It says, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? Because God judges those outside." And I think there needs to be, you know, the opportunity where I can tell you the truth in love. And I've been thinking about this ever since I saw Bill Maher's show Friday. He let fly on some Christians who weren't tipping, you know?
Yeah, I read a story about that.
Yeah, and when the Christian's response is, well, God knows my heart, or I hate when somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to and you say, well, I'll pray for you. How about, I don't know, can I get back to you on that?
Sure, sure.
Because that is...
That's the bumper sticker on pastor's car.
Yeah, that's what a faithful witness does. You testify to what you know, and, you know, if you can find out, then you're building the relationship that you need to have with this person who asked a valid question.
Mm-hmm. And what was the other verse that you had, Jen?
The other one was 2 Corinthians 7. Where godly grief produces repentance, whereas while worldly grief produces death. You know, something always bothered me with the slogan, death before dishonor. And I think what bothers me is, would I rather die than repent? You see my question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you take it into the kingdom of the left as opposed to the kingdom of the right, there's going to be a distinction.
Yeah. But, you know, we don't get the world to the kingdom of the right when we don't conduct ourselves how our master says in the kingdom of the left.
Yeah. Paul in his letters to the Corinthians talks about creating stumbling blocks, right? And his desire not to create a stumbling block for them, in case of, you know, his finances and needs, right? So he didn't create a stumbling block for them. So we as Christians can scandalize the faith in our lives for which we demonstrate. But it also affords us, because we are going to sin, we are going to fall short as Christian witnesses when we talk to other people, when we live our lives. It does afford us then the opportunity, doesn't it, to speak about the reality of the church and who are these, who are we as Christians? For we are not sinless in and of ourselves, but we see our need for the great physician, right? So when we sin, I think you're also pointing out our needs to repent to each other, our needs to call each other to repentance, but then also to absolve and be quick to absolve each other and forgive each other because of who we are in Christ, right? So that also destroys boasting. That all, you know, repentance, severs, cuts at the knees. This devil who wants us to think so highly of us that we no longer need to repent of our sins, right? Mm-hmm. Or that we no longer have sin to repent of. The godly grief that repentance it brings on with it sorrow over sin, but also God uses that to call us to see that our lives are in Christ. That worldly grief cuts us away from Christ and brings on death, because it brings on just total despair and not seeing that we are forgiven in Him, and repentance which incorporates faith, in right. which we see the sacrifice of Christ, and in which then we are forgiven.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Verse 12. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are the redeemed, and that covers sins of omission and commission. And Christ remains the Redeemer, but our earnestness for that Redeemer is what is God's perception of good works. Right, Pastor?
Yeah, you're pointing out two sections of Scripture that many have argued go together, right? This call in 1 Corinthians 5 for us to address the brother who's been caught in sexual immorality, and to the point of having to remove him from the assembly, right? So with the intent to bring him back to repentance and faith, and to stop that kind of sexual activity, right? And then this. So there is a connection to those two sections, right? That has been debated and argued, right? I personally, as pastor, I feel that this is the situation for which he is addressing. I know that there's others that think that there's another letter in between and maybe other things that are being addressed, but I personally think that those are those connecting points between these two sections.
I think that he, when he goes on to address sexual immorality as well as greed and idolatry,
sure.
Makes it clear that, you know, we need to speak to those things because God is dealing with the world. We are the church. And I really feel like we just need to be aware and do it gently, because you don't want to alienate the person, but the world is watching us. And they're, you know, watching to see whether or not we're going to do that, or just circle wagons and conceal, you know, what is unchristlike.
Sure.
Thanks, Jim.
And you're addressing many things that are really big picture as a church body, right? Public sin and private sin and all the different things, right? So, I wouldn't want us to be misunderstood or take Jan's comments out of context, where she's saying, you know, your brother sins and you're supposed to expose it to the world or anything like that. But when we have public sin of an individual, we should be clear to call each other to repentance. Though when our brother sins and it's only known by us and them, we go individually to them and we go right to them and we call them back to see that this is not how how God has called us. We don't use grace and forgiveness as a means to run back and shackle ourselves to our addiction to sin and all these things. So, yeah, it's very, you know, it does interrelate back to our text, right? These things aren't separated, but, you know, this is how the body relates to itself.
When you talk about public sin, the reason I'm sitting here kind of smiling because it just crosses my mind that what Paul is saying here in verse 3 about not thinking more highly of yourself than you should, how often is it that we jump to condemn a public sin, not for the benefit of the restoration of the brother,
yeah,
but because it goes to demonstrate how we're not like that?
Yeah.
If it were only easier, like I said, this is tough stuff. Well, I mean, and we make light of it a little bit, but in seriousness, you know, how many times in your pastoral ministry, we've got a couple of minutes left here, have people come to you complaining about the sins of others, and you know it's not because they want to restore the brother, but it's because, hey, look at me.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
do
that. I'm
not like them.
I'm not like them, Pastor. I'm on the good side.
Mm-hmm. And it's means of the body of dealing with that, right?
Right.
And which is very clear of, have you talked to your brother? Have you talked to your sister about this?
What did Matthew know?
Yeah. And and then it reveals that, no, we're not so much different from one to the other, are we? Isn't it
sad? Isn't that the starting point, that we should first remember our sin before we go pulling the speck out of somebody else's eye?
Yeah, and isn't then that what Paul is doing here? Remember, it is God who is, first and foremost, it is God who is calling us into the faith, who is uniting us with Christ by the means of the Holy Spirit, bringing us into this faith, right? Bringing us in and making us part of this body. And then as you are seeing yourselves in the body, how can one part of the body say to another, you don't need to, right?
Right.
I am better. I'm higher on the spectrum than you. All these parts interrelate. All these parts are interdependent upon each other, right? If the mouth needs food, it cannot but use the hand, right? And the hand needs to have the food. Well, it needs the feet to go get it, right? and all of us need to be fed. So we need this word of God which speaks of first and foremost being in Christ, right? And we can never ever leave that very point, that we're not alone, that we've been brought into Jesus Christ by his sacrifice, and in that body we have many blessings.
I don't want to go beyond that. I think that's a great place to leave it.
Dead air time.
Well, dead air is not a bad thing.
Yeah, you know? we can all say our amens to being in the body. And I know you said this is too difficult, but in that, it's so simple.
No, I said it should be easier.
It should be easier.
It was too difficult.
It's okay. It needs to be easier, but that's where it becomes very easy, right? Because all the work has been completed. All the things for us to be in the body have been done in Christ, and so then we rejoice.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the art of radio broadcasting is knowing when to shut up. And there was nothing I could say after that. You put it over the fence, my friend. Pastor John Shanks serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois.
God's
and
peace.
You've got a great big sausage supper coming up this Sunday.
12 to 6.
Water Street, right?
600 Water Street.
Come on down. Lots to go around, I'm sure. I'd love to feed you. All right, guys, that's it for today. Faith and Family is next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.